Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
the Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives all of the episodes. We are currently in season 15, episode 20, 21, and 22. And if you have not watched the entirety of Grey's Anatomy up to this point, I highly recommend you do so. I would say past season 19, just so that you don't get spoiled.
Into the future.
Into the future, so that you don't get spoiled by anything.
Yeah, we are a spoilers podcast. This is the second to last episode. We're almost done with season 15, which is wild.
Right, because then it's... Oh, wait, right. God damn it. I keep thinking we're in season 18 in real life, but we're 19.
Yeah, then we're in 16, which I don't think we've done. We did 17.
Sort of. That's the COVID season.
Right. And I don't know. Whatever. We'll see where we go. But also, we haven't really talked about this, what the plans look like for the holiday.
No, we're not sure yet.
Stay tuned. So by next week, we'll give you a heads up on what our schedule will look like for recording. There are ways that you can support us. Actually, this is really important. You can support us on Patreon. That's important at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. One of the things that we do for our $2 patrons is we send out a holiday card.
Yeah, this should be like a final notice.
This is a final notice.
It's also your first notice.
So we're going to, we'll have to put a little memo in the Facebook group, which you also get to join if you're a $2 patron. Just letting people know if they need to update their address to do so in Patreon.
And we send out a postable link.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't update it, you're not getting it. You're not getting the mailing.
Right.
But yeah, that's a fun thing we like to do over the holidays. We also do other fun little bonus things. We've been reacting to season 19 and we've been releasing those to our $10 patrons. We do monthly bonus episodes as well as Zoom hangouts.
We should do a holiday party Zoom hangout.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good idea.
Like, everyone can wear whatever sort of holiday gear. We'll do maybe like a game, Christmas game.
Oh, that's fun.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Oh, yeah.
We can make it very chill.
It could be fun to maybe do some type of like Grey's holiday trivia or something.
It would be cool. This is so lame. I've always really wanted to in the Zoom hangouts do some sort of a show and tell. Like, do you have a really unique skill or like something really cool to show, like a pet, like a lizard or something?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't a show and tell be fun?
It would be fun.
And people could book their spot so that like it's not like fighting over it.
Well, because I was just going to say the only thing I would get nervous about is that not everyone would get to show and tell.
So we'd have to do that ahead. What if we also did, it's like, would you like to sing a holiday song? Book a slot.
Oh my gosh, that would be fun.
There's just so much.
There's so many different options. So yeah, that's in the works currently. We just came up with that. So join Patreon. You can also follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. And please rate and review us anywhere you listen. 5 scalpels. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Bree is a year older, everyone.
32, everyone.
She's really doing it.
Yeah. 32 is weird.
Yeah.
Because it's not 31, clearly.
Right. You're not I just turned 30.
It's like, we're sneaking into mid-30s pretty damn soon.
You're telling me. The weird thing about me, I don't know if you do this, but I like mentally, like for the past month, I've been saying I'm 34. I'm only 33. But it's like when March comes around, I don't want to be shocked.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Which is really dumb.
I did have some people reach out to me though on my birthday telling me that 32 was like their favorite year. They had like really good things happen. So I was like, great. I was going to say I'll graduate at 32, but I'll actually graduate at 33, but I'll have just turned 33. So
this is your last year of grad school.
Oh, thank God.
I know, but also like someday you're going to look back on these years and romanticize them.
Will I? Yeah, not having a job, I will.
Yeah, exactly. This is the year of you not having a job.
It's been really, really nice.
I came over and Bree was frantically cooking, what is it called?
Coq au vin.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, there's like mashed potatoes, there's meatballs, there's bacon, there's a sauce with wine. There's so much going on.
There was a lot going on. And I was like, it was just a quick recipe. And then Abby's like, wait, what? You made meatballs? You made mashed potatoes? You had to make bacon? I was like, yeah, I guess it wasn't that quick.
You looked like in the last 5 minutes of Great British Bake Off, you know? But like when they're trying to put the frosting.
Yeah, like, oh, me.
And I'm Paul Hollywood going, bacon. Wouldn't have done it that way if it were me.
Yeah, doesn't look that good. It's also been really nice not having a job. I'm not going to tell this whole story because I already told Abby this story. But like, if you don't know about the gnomes at World Market, I just learned about them this year, that they hide these gnomes 4 in the morning, like at store open, and 4 at 4 p.m. And like, they give you a clue online.
Are they actual little gnomes or are they
paper?
No,
they're like a paper.
Okay.
If you find one, you get either, you bring it up and they scan it and it's either like $20, $50 or $100, like gift card pretty much to World Market. And so I went this morning to World Market. I did not win. I felt super defeated when I left. I actually texted my friend who was the one who like posted about it on Instagram that I learned about it from. And I was like, I went to World Market today. I didn't get the gnome. I walked out super defeated. She was like, oh, I've been there so many times. So it made me feel better. Because when she posted on Instagram, her and her daughter like found one that day. So I was like, oh, easy. Like,
could you go every day or can you only get one ever?
You can only get one. They used to allow you to get as many as you like could.
Okay.
But I think probably there were people coming and
getting
a gajillion dollars to World Market.
Right.
And so it like spreads it out for other people. But there was this elderly man and we both walked out empty handed together.
I'm sad for you. I think I'm more sad for the elderly man.
I mean, last year he got $100.
So, he told you?
Yeah. So,
okay,
you know,
don't feel as bad.
Yeah.
I was inspired by that. I went to World Market after I saw you.
Did you get some stuff? Don't they have just great Christmas stuff out
I
right
got
now?
The wrapping paper in which your birthday present is wrapped in over there. I had a bunch of things in my cart, but then at the moment that I was shopping, I got the email from my accountant saying that I owe an exorbitant amount of taxes. So I literally emptied 75% of my cart because I was just like
buying things.
Yeah. Like white tapers for the holidays
and
a dried flower arrangement and a vase. And I did get though, I'm not good with real plants. You know this. I got a fake plant that I think looks really real. That's hangy. So it can go on my shelf in my kitchen.
That will look nice.
Also, it's on the top shelf. I'd never water if it was real and up there. Yeah. It's like hard to reach. So I got that. I got wrapping paper. I got I'll say this because it'll be Jake's birthday when I'm done with this. I got him some candy. I got him a chocolate frog like Harry Potter. And I got him those koala yummies.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah,
he loves those. And then there is something on top of your package. I don't know if you saw.
Oh, were those nerds?
They are nerds.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Holiday nerds.
Did you see in the section, they had these like white ceramic, like little like snow village.
Yes.
Like I have to go back and get
one. With the tea, like you put a tea candle in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were so pretty.
I'd like those for my mantle because my mantle is white.
Yes.
So I feel like they'd be like, yes. Yes. No, I also saw all the really cool garland that you could put on your mantle. I liked the one that was like sort of like balls, like little white balls.
Yep.
And then I also really liked, I wanted to buy, but they were $8.99 a thing. And I said, no, the like fake poinsettias to stick in your tree, like the white ones.
Oh yeah. Those are really cool
too. I like that
too.
Look, but they were $8.99 a pop and I'd need at least five.
At least five. Right. And then it's like, that's a lot of money to spend. But yeah, I mean,
there was like a piece,
I saw that one.
I liked that too. I kind of liked the colorful holiday decor. Like,
yeah, that's fun. It's hard because like, I really like that vibe, but like over the years I have,
you've acquired it.
Acquired like, it's all very like gold. Oh my God. I got these beautiful Christmas trees, statues for my birthday from my mother from Costco. I wanted them so bad.
And what do they look like?
Sparkly trees. There's like three of them. They're about like, one's like the biggest one's probably a foot tall.
Okay.
And they're like the.
She's using her hands.
I don't know. They're just like ceramic.
Yeah, I think I know
trees,
what you're talking about.
But they have like gold glitter on them. And there's three sizes. And so I'm going to put them next to the fireplace on the ground.
It's going
to
be great.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. Oh, also, I got Christmas dishes.
You are officially...
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did. I'm not in on it, but I did hear about it.
It was the most 32 gift ever that I just
wanted. You got quite a few.
I got 12 salad plates and 12 dinner plates of Christmas dishes.
They're beautiful. I saw them on the website.
Yeah, and they're like hefty as fuck. They're really cool. And I just can't wait for the
holidays. In like a big heavy box?
They just wrapped like one of each in like the boxes. And then the other ones were in my sister's car.
Perfect. Just, okay.
Because that would have been insane to wrap like a bunch of, because they came in packs of four.
Okay.
So
Anyway,
it's great. It's just really great. I love Christmas. It was sad though, because I like, actually, it was probably good because I did not need to be spending money on my own shit at World Market.
Were you about to buy?
But like, yeah, because I didn't bring a cart. I was just looking for this gnome for a half hour. And then when I realized I lost, I was like, I could either like shop now, but I was so defeated. I was like,
smart move.
I will have no joy. So I'm going to go back.
You can be like me and just put it all back.
Yeah.
Which was... I literally got
that's so sad.
I got the email. I go, okay, perspective. I don't actually need these things.
Don't need them.
I was texting Jake and I go, I should not go to New York next week. And he was like, it's fine. We'll figure it out. And I was like, oh, damn it. It's fine. All's well. I don't actually have to pay it until April.
That's good.
But I don't really make money until April starting now. So I'm going to pay it now.
Yeah, no, that's all
right. I won't have it. But I was texting some friends. This is boring ass podcast content. All I'll say is I'm really trying next year to not overdo it wedding wise because I need to do this career for a long time and I don't want to burn out. And so I'm trying to do 20-ish weddings instead of 30.
Smart.
And I'm at close to that now. And I was texting my friends and I'm like, okay, just found out I have to pay this. I think I'm going to book 10 more weddings to like make up for the money. And they were like, no, don't. Like, and I was like, but this is probably what happens every year is I find out, I like all of a sudden feel like, oh, I don't have money. I'll just book these for the deposits. And then when the time comes that I actually have to work 30 weddings.
So it just keeps like cycling.
It's just a cycle.
So I think you just got to eat the money this year and then not, because then next year you won't have to pay it.
So listeners, if you'd like to support us and be a patron, it would be really great.
Be really helpful.
Help me pay my taxes. Just kidding. I'm doing fine.
I don't have a job. So
you're thriving.
I mean, student loans, everyone. Yeah. Student loans.
Student loans. Pushing them off. Speaking of, today we exercise our democracy. I hope the next time we podcast, we have rights. So stay tuned.
At least in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, we'll stay tuned.
Okay. Well, we should probably talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. And I do want to preface. Okay. If we go into a little less detail on certain things in the first two of these episodes, I want to be very frank and say that we recorded them and they got deleted.
They got deleted.
So, this is like an edited version. I feel like I'm just going to hone in on the things that I cared about.
Instead of just trying to fill up space and time.
Yeah, there really isn't a ton going on in these. So if you are upset with our review, please, I'm so sorry. But
please don't leave a review.
Try talking about an episode for an hour and then having to do it again.
Yeah, it's
it's an experience.
It's not ideal.
So, but let's talk about Grey's. We're doing season 15, episode 20, 21, and 22, the whole package, Good Shepherd, and Head Over High Heels. Should I read the first monologue?
Sure.
Okay. If given the option, we prep our surgeries for days. We study, we practice. We run through it over and over again in our minds. Taking on a patient's case is not unlike marriage. We get to know you inside and out. You trust us with our lives and we promise to protect and care for you in sickness and in health, for better or worse. In sickness and in health, they say, it sounds so final, so binding, but it just means you have to be there. You have to really want to be there for whatever is coming. And we don't know. It could all pan out the way we want, the way it's supposed to be, or it could be much worse. Meredith Grey.
Almost all human cells reproduce on a cycle. Up to 10% of your heart is replaced each year. Red blood cells are replaced every 4 months. Skin cells every 2 weeks. But neurons, the cells that make up the brain and the spinal cord, don't regenerate. It turns out that under the right conditions, neurons can recover. If they can break from normal operations and focus on healing, they have a chance at regrowth. It's human nature to want to fix what's broken. We may not be able to exactly replicate what we lost, but in its place, we'll grow something new. It's a long process, but it happens. Slowly but surely, until we have what we need. Meredith Grey.
On average, our heart beats 70 times per minute. In the same 60-second period, we blink between 10 and 15 times, swallow once, and take up to 20 breaths. Our hearts beat, our lungs breathe, our bodies keep us alive, and most of us barely notice. We just take it all for granted. So much of the world operates without us ever thinking about it. We expect it to work out in our favor, and most of the time it does. We worry about the future and think about the past, and we so often miss what's right in front of us. We take what's good and easy and working for granted until it's no longer good and easy and working for us. It's normal, but we can do better because there are tiny, beautiful gifts we're given every day, and it's up to us to appreciate them to the fullest while we can. Meredith Grey.
I read that because they are tiny. They are tiny. What? Shotgun workup. Caleb Hicks, frozen abdomen, amputated penis and scrotum.
Alicia Davis, appendicitis, Meckel's diverticulum.
Gus Carter, thymoma and anemia.
Jonah Mays, progressive kyphoscoliosis.
Nice. Carrie Donnelly, paralysis.
Josh Sturman, hereditary osteoporosis, arterial rupture, pulmonary artery embolism.
Gemma Larson, impalement injury, pericardial infusion.
And then the one above it we miss, which is not a big deal. AV styrene. I don't know why I said not a big deal. Inflammatory bowel disease, pregnancy, uterus, didelifus.
I didn't want to say didelifus, so that's why I skipped that. And then Gus Carter is on there again.
Okay.
Yeah. But we already said that.
We don't have an editor. It's
fine.
Okay.
Rounds.
Joe has yet to confide in Alex and mostly just wants to be alone. After a week of pretending to be sick and not coming into work, Alex sends Link to the house to see if he can figure out what is going on with Joe. They end up drinking almost 2/5 of vodka together. And besides Joe talking a little bit about how it's in her DNA to be a runner, Link doesn't find out anything about her. He tells Alex that he's seen her in rough shape before, but nothing like this. When Joe comes back into work, she works in the lab with Jackson. He tries to talk to her about what happened in Pittsburgh, but she is standoffish and refuses to tell him anything. She just tells Jackson that he was right, that she shouldn't have gone looking. After Jackson is frustrated with Joe for not opening up to him, he accuses her of being drunk while at work and drinking out of a water bottle of vodka. He tells her that the next time she does this, she will not be met with compassion. When Joe is at home, Alex comes in and yells at her for going to work drunk and not telling him what is going on. He threatens to go to Pittsburgh, and Joe tells him that if he does that, she will leave him. He tells her that if she goes to work drunk again, he will tell Bailey.
Catherine gets to come back to surgery for a patient who is receiving both an abdomen transplant and a full penis transplant. Megan, Owen's sister, comes in as well because she was his doctor. Megan is incredibly confused and upset to find out that Teddy is pregnant with Owen's child, but they are not together. She calls him names, but then more seriously, by the end of the episode, tells Owen that he needs help. She believes that the trauma of war and PTSD have caused him to believe that he is not worthy of love. She tells him that she is in talk therapy, somatic therapy, and she and Riggs do couples therapy. She tells him that he is not well and that he needs to do the work. Owen ends up visiting a therapist. The therapist used the neuro-emotional technique to find the cause of Owen's pain. He narrowed the cause to when Owen was 10, prompting Owen to tell him about winning a science bee at school on the same day his mother told him his father had died. Because of that event, he sabotaged every chance he had to be happy.
DeLuca gets to do... Nope. We're going to talk about DeLuca and post-op. We forgot to mention that.
You're right.
So if you are a $10 patron and you're listening in the Patreon app or using the RSS feed, you will hear about DeLuca, the children, all of that. Okay, a young boy with autism named Gus comes into the hospital with complaints of difficulty breathing. They find a mass on his thymus gland. Because he is anemic, he needs a blood transfusion prior to surgery, but he reacts poorly to the blood. Maggie and the team find out that he has a very rare blood type that is sometimes called golden blood. There are only 4 current potential donors in the entire world. Alex promises they will do what they can to take care of this kid. Meredith reaches out to Christina and Marie Cerrone about any potential blood donors, and they don't have any.
Amelia and Link head to New York to work on a special case together when they run into Amelia's sister Nancy at the hospital. Amelia introduces Link to her as her husband, Owen. She has not yet told her family that her and Owen got a divorce. Nancy invites Amelia and Link, aka Owen, to dinner at her house, and Amelia convinces him to go with her. When she arrives, she realizes that their other sister,
it's Kathleen.
Kathleen is there as well. They are very judgmental and snarky about Amelia's past, but are slowly warming up to Link, pretending to be Owen. Things are going well when suddenly Amelia's mom arrives and outs the two, since she knows the real Owen Hunt. Everyone argues and brings up Amelia's past, and even though Link tries to stand up for her, they end up leaving. Amelia and Link end up doing a risky operation on their patient after he is in respiratory distress, and Link is afraid that Amelia is trying to prove something by doing this surgery. Luckily, it goes incredibly well and the patient is fine. When in the airplane on the way home, Amelia apologizes to Link for what she said, brings him the donuts he used to love in New York City, and they move past what happened that weekend. Amelia has an incredibly healing conversation with her mother.
Amelia and Tom are working together on a patient who is paralyzed from the chest down, and while in conversation about the surgery, Amelia tries to tell Tom that Owen and Teddy are endgame and that he is not going to win this relationship. Tom believes that he will, and Amelia says that she is telling him as a friend that he is choosing the hard way.
Nico is feeling very confident about job interviews he has coming up and is acting quite full of himself. He's about to do a very groundbreaking surgery on a young man named Josh. Josh is 21 years old and had a hereditary osteoporosis, which caused a compression fracture from T11 to T12. He was in the hospital for a paracontinuous vertebroplasty, which... Okay. Involved cement being injected into his spinal column to stabilize it. Josh had his surgery and the cement was placed quickly. After his surgery, he seemed fine until he got up to walk with assistance and crashed. They took him back into surgery where Maggie discovered that his pulmonary artery was destroyed due to a mistake Nico had made. She tried to patch it, but the graft wouldn't hold. Despite their best efforts, Josh was pronounced dead in the OR. Bailey made Nico come with her to Josh's grandpa as they told him that his grandson died because of a mistake that a surgeon made. Levi tries to comfort Nico and Nico lashes out at him, accusing him of letting failure dictate his entire life and that he is not anything like that.
And this is why Nico's a jerk.
Yeah, I don't like him.
No.
Never have.
First notes.
Mine was Joe really does not want Alex messing with her.
Yeah, that's a great observation.
She doesn't want it.
Mine is Teddy is going to look at houses with Tom. He can tell. Oh, yeah. Tom says he can tell about a house's foundation by walking barefoot.
I love that.
I love Tom.
Okay. Where should we start?
Let's talk about, let's just finish. We did the whole last episode on Joe. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of just like quick final out with what's going on there.
Uh-huh.
I was really surprised that she went to work drunk. I like did not
yeah,
remember that.
Yeah, I did not
that.
Remember that either.
I also thought Jackson's approach was very kind. Like I feel like he knew and asked her to come into the lab with him.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I feel like that is a real friend to not just suddenly be like, you need to get out of this hospital. Like, and I also think I forgot that Joe had a conversation with Jackson before she went to meet her mom. Like, you know, and he was
right,
kind of like, don't
like,
waste
don't
your
do
time.
It. Yeah.
Right. So, again, we talked about why last week, like why we think Joe isn't telling anyone, like what happened, but I don't know. It was also interesting. Again, spoiler alert, like later in season, remember Joe and Jackson sleep together?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it was like interesting to see some sort of a friendship, but not really at this point. I don't know.
I think part of me feels like Jackson was like kind and like didn't report her or anything because she was working in the lab. I feel like, you know, she didn't have like contact
right.
with patients.
He says like you were smart enough not to do anything with patients. Today.
Right. But I mean, Alex is not as understanding when he shows up at home and is pissed as fuck at her.
I was trying to, because I saw a note of yours, which I agree, like, it's a, like, he went at it. I mean, Alex is yelling, like, which is, I feel like, one of the things that Joe, you know, she was with a husband that yelled at her and whatever. However, I, like, tried to put myself in Alex's shoes and, like, finding out that my spouse had gone to work drunk.
Right.
And I feel that, like, obviously he should have maybe taken a pause.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand his anger.
Oh, yeah. I understand. And I don't think it's just about the fact that she goes to work drunk. It has been episodes of her not communicating with
right.
Alex after she's gone to Pittsburgh. And he's like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
You know, and
can
then
that be
Link,
so frustrating.
Yeah. And Link, you know, he sends Link over there and Link is like, she's not well. So I understand where Alex was coming from. I thought it was like, I was like, damn, when he's like, I'll go to Pittsburgh. And she was like, if you bring up Pittsburgh again, like, I will like leave you.
Right. I know there was a lot.
I also really liked that he said, if you go to work again, he didn't say, I'll leave you. He said, I'll tell Bailey.
Yeah. He didn't threaten to leave her.
Yeah.
Which I also thought was interesting. Again, like there was two mentions I had notes of where it was talking about Joe leaving Alex in the beginning when he says, you know, Bailey, she's coming back. Like, don't say anything, like, whatever. You know, one of the things they said was like, or leaving me. And I was like, the hard part is he leaves her.
I know.
But I'm trying not to think about that because at this point, I don't think that was the plan.
I don't think so either. She looked very unwell when she showed back up at work. Like, you
love Bailey being like, Karev? Yeah. Hi. Like, and Meredith was just like, that's not the way.
Yeah. Like that's almost worse than had you
gone Bailey.
Yeah. I can't remember. Do we get therapy with Joe in this season or is
that's
it next?
That's what I'm worrying about is that there's only three episodes left. Unless
it's like at the very end, she goes and puts herself.
Right. Like, is the finale when he reproposes?
I feel like that's season 16. I feel like she might enter at the end of this season.
Oh, I bet you're right.
And then that happens in the beginning of season 16.
I bet you're right. I think that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have three more episodes of like...
of Joe not being well.
Right. Which I guess is... I do hate when they round out a story too quickly where it like doesn't feel realistic.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what happens with that if she even goes back to work. That like seems, I mean, I know she's been drinking a lot there, but that's a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
I don't know how she drinks a fifth of vodka. My hangover would be so bad, I'd give up drinking.
I think you'd, at that point.
You just start again?
You just start again.
But do you throw up? Oh, I hate hangovers. Hangovers are the worst. Okay. I guess, yeah, I don't have too much about that. I'll just say that Jackson was like, kind of like not standing up for Karev, but trying to explain to her that like Karev is just concerned. Like,
yes.
like he was very much. I loved that it's not Karev that sent him, it was Meredith. Like when he's like, Joe kept accusing Jackson of like, Alex put you up to this, didn't he?
Oh,
and then
yeah.
He's like, and finally, he was like, it's actually Meredith that put me up to this. So I like love that Meredith was also looking out for Alex, I would say, and Joe. So
yeah, and Joe. I mean, I definitely think. Mostly Alex, but she has come to love Joe as well. So.
Yeah.
Let's.
I'm going to skip around a little before because I wanted to know your thoughts on anything. Just because it's quick, anything with the patient Gus. I feel like we talked about how it's going to be in the finale. I just remember.
Yes,
that.
And I think we mentioned too that I just think you know Krev did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was. Really great too that like these poor parents who are like, what does this mean for our son who has this rare blood disorder? And, you know, the other doctors are like, there's nothing we can really do. And Krev was like, I'm going to fight for your kid and I'm never going to stop fighting. And I think we had talked about how that related back to how he feels about Joe.
Yes.
Because that is when he went and asked
Link,
like he thought about it in a different way of like, if I can't help Joe, I'm going to ask Link. So I think those two really connected.
I also, I feel like it's like one thing to just have this rare blood, you know, type that you like can't, like that's hard enough. But on top of that, having it be on a patient who has a harder time communicating,
mm-hmm.
that's just like, it's just a lot. It's really sad. And I remember the woman being full of anxiety, which we all relate to, who is the one that is the blood type. She like can't be on an airplane and then Owen and her are in a car. And I'm just like, I want to remember what
is this when
is
they drive into Joe's bar? No.
No.
No, no, no.
That's
no,
later.
No. Yeah,
but this is like the fog?
The fog. The fog.
Oh, God. So Maggie and Jackson are
going to
get...
Oh, my gosh. We didn't put in our rounds that Jackson asked Maggie to move in.
Oh, yeah. We can talk... Let's talk about right now.
Wow. And then to think they break up so soon.
I did appreciate... That scene of them in the blue room was very beautiful.
Yeah.
It was like when that shot where it was like from behind and they were holding hands. Mm-hmm. It was just like... A very cool image. I love that blue room.
Yeah, I would love one in my own home.
Same. And I think he was saying too that like he was afraid. What did he say? Something about like, you're here and I love you. And like, why would I put this off? Kind of a thing.
Yeah, because she was kind of like, he was like, let's go home. And she was like, I don't have any clean clothes. I got to go back home and then I might just crash. And it was like, let's stop doing this then. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's always such an exciting feeling when you decide to move in with someone.
Oh, I very strongly remember you and John.
I remember it very well because I was waiting for him to ask me.
Right. What a weird time.
And he wasn't. And then we were like leases and things and signing things. Oh, it was because his roommate was moving out. And so he was considering getting another.
You were in that place you did not love.
Yeah. And I was like, what are, like, let's just, so yeah. You know, I can't remember if he, I think he was the one who finally brought it up. I don't think it was me, but I had been sitting on it
for a while. If you and I stay happily married, which I hope for both of us we do, we'll never have like an invite to move, have someone move in with, like there will be no someone being like, would you like to move in with me?
Well, if we
live in a
college. Oh, if we stay happily married.
Yes, that's what I mean.
I thought you were, like, I was like, well, if we get divorced.
No, like we're done with that.
Yeah, I know. It's weird how like things.
Chapters of life.
But then there's like the benefit of being with a partner.
Never having to find a roommate.
Yeah. Never having to have to sit and wait for like to have that conversation with your partner.
I've been lucky. I think I've lived with Jake for like almost 10 years, maybe nine years. We've been married 7. So
yeah,
that's crazy. I do remember after moving back from Wisconsin, I was like, I will never have a roommate again. I will either live alone or live with Jake. Like there is, you get a point in life where like,
yeah, where you're like, I'm not having roommates. I'm not doing this.
Right.
I feel that.
But now
way.
I sometimes do wish like I could come downstairs, like, what you guys watching on TV? Maybe I'll just come stay here for a week.
Oh, that would be kind of fun.
Just a little staycation. You do have a new shower head now.
We have a new shower head. We have a new comforter. You can.
I'd like to stay here for maybe a day or two in the holiday season to enjoy
sure.
that.
Sure, sure, sure. But you have to do the thing where you, but it wouldn't be the same because like when you
I'd pack a bag.
No. When you have roommates, like remember like all of your things are in your bedroom.
Right.
Like I remember like decorating and you'd like kind of decorate the living space, but all of, so like that popping out, like what you guys doing is like different because you're in your space with all your things. And then you're like, I'm lonely. If you were staying here, you wouldn't just be sitting in a like empty guest room because that would be weird as hell.
Right. No, I'd be out and about.
Right. So there would never be that feeling of like, I wonder what people are doing.
That feeling.
Yeah.
That's like a, I could very, again, romanticize a feeling that was not actually that great. I'm sure I was like annoyed by roommates 80% of the time, but there is,
or that like, little like knock, knock on the door, like, hi.
Hi. Yeah. Yeah. Or like when you really got to talk about something and they're just right there.
Yeah.
But then are like, you're annoyed because their boyfriend or girlfriend is over.
Yeah.
And you're just like, get the fuck out of my house. Yeah. Those feelings were great too.
Yep.
My friends hated when Jake was over.
Why?
College.
That's
I don't know.
So mean. He's such a good boy.
Yeah. I'm sure it's because like.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. Isn't that a weird, that's just a weird thing. Anyways. Okay. Roommates. So they are going to be maybe roommates. I don't know if they ever end up.
I don't remember if they end up together. They probably get lost in the fog first.
I'd love to live in Jackson's house, his penthouse.
Oh my gosh.
Is the fire.
I don't understand. Okay. Spoiler alert. How like Joe just has that place now.
I don't know. I love it.
That's insane. Like that's like a multi-million dollar home. And I'm pretty sure he's just like,
I'm sure it's newly remodeled also because it was on fire.
Yeah.
Remember, there's a fire, everyone. Oh, yeah. My favorite. That's still my favorite moment of this whole season.
Oh, and Alex
and
is so excited. It's
bats.
A real fire.
And bats. There's bats in the house. That's also my favorite. Okay.
We got Catherine.
Yeah. Which she's so happy to have a penis transplant. She's loving it.
Yeah. She's at first really annoyed with Mayor and Jackson. And then I love how they're like, we have a gift for you. And she was like, a gift implies jewelry. It was like, amen, Catherine. That is absolutely right.
I don't remember that line at all.
And then they're like, no, it's a penis, whatever. And then she's like, my baby brought me a penis. It's like, yes.
You know, there are times when Catherine like was not my favorite character. In this rewatch, I'm really loving her.
Yeah, Catherine's great.
Like her flowy outfit.
She's wacky as hell. Yeah. I just like,
my baby brought me a penis. And that's also, I believe, when Bailey is giving the tour to the high school students and she's like, welcome to urology.
Yeah.
So also with that, we don't need to go too much into it, but the patient was not open with them that his support system, which was his girlfriend, is no longer because he did not tell her that he needed a leg, not a leg, an abdomen and like a full penis scrotum transplant. So that was like an awkward moment.
Also, Megan's back.
Yeah, Megan's back, which normally I would hate, But I will tell you
that it leads to something that you care for.
Yes. And I enjoyed her calling Owen a bunch of names. Like, and the line when she said something like, I'm trying to process, but it's literally so stupid. Like my brain can't process that you are having a child together, but you're not together. You idiots.
Yeah.
She says what us viewers are thinking.
100%. Like she calls out all of the shit on the podcast that we have talked about.
Yes.
How insane it was that he flies to Germany. Has sex with Teddy, comes home.
Oh yeah, she says
gets
that
with
whole
Amelia,
line.
And then like gets a foster child.
Yeah, and like, a girl in rehab all at once.
All of that, and she calls out like, "That's not normal.
Like, you are not well.
You're not well." And like, I feel like as viewers, we have all like leading up to this point with Owen, we're like, he's a terrible character. He is batshit crazy, but right. like the show is not acknowledging, like they're just acting like this is just him and it's normal.
Right.
And so it was nice for someone to finally say like, you're a very hurt individual and something has happened in your life. You have PTSD and you need to like deal with this and find mm-hmm. ways to cope because you're like ruining everyone's life pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah. I was, I remembered liking this, like this moment. I feel like we've been waiting for this for a while for just like Owen to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because there was so much of it in the early seasons with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just sort of dropped off, which like, obviously you can like become well, like there, like you can move past things, but then like, I just like that they're continuing this. I honestly wish there was more of it, but maybe that's a different show. Maybe that's Private Practice.
Yeah.
But I wondered what your thoughts were on the episode with the with the therapist that he sees.
Well, really interesting. So we have been saying this whole time that he does EMDR.
We are wrong.
We are wrong. It is neuroemotional technique. And interestingly, NET is not therapy. It is a mind-body stress reduction technique.
Okay.
So I looked it up because I was like, what the? I mean, it's yeah. a thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not discrediting it, but it's actually not like therapy.
Okay.
Whereas EMDR, like therapists are trained in that. I don't know if this person is a therapist. I don't know if you can get right. trained in NET. But I've had things done like this before, kind of similar with like muscle testing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can seem like really like woo woo, but like it fucking works.
Yeah.
Shit works.
The way you just did woo was the perfect alarm clock.
Woo. And so I thought it was really great. I love how Owen really like shows up as like a doctor, you know, and like
yes.
show me like scientific hard facts. And he's kind of like, I don't really agree with this or whatever, but I guess I'll try it. And the whole part that they get to about it being 10, I love too that he thought like, well, obviously started in the Iraq war, you know, like mm-hmm. that was where he went and he's like, well, let's just see, you know?
Yeah.
And it really is actually a child. It started back as a child.
As all things do.
In a child trauma of losing his father.
Which I didn't even know.
I don't remember that.
I mean, I knew his dad wasn't around because his mom is dating that hot firefighter, but I did not know this was like that he died when he was young.
Yeah. So I have a quote. Can I read it?
Yeah.
That was said. So Owen ends up saying he was ashamed that he was so proud and happy when his mom was so sad. And the therapist or whoever, whatever they are, said, I think you don't trust joy. I think you stop it before something terrible happens, before the bad news comes, but it's not coming anymore. Mm-hmm. That moment is over. It came and you're okay. So let's stop the replay, which is like, just gave me like shivers.
Yeah.
Like, because he doesn't have to keep replaying this. And so when he has him like, whatever his brain and like holds his hand there and he just starts crying like, oh,
I know. Owen. I was picturing little baby Owen.
I know.
And just, yeah, that whole idea of like, it's kind of like the, I always think like getting the rug pulled out from under you, like don't trust something good because like it can't possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah, it was just like, it kind of makes sense if you think about all of the things that in his life, like that he's like all these relationships and stuff that he just doesn't let trust that it's good.
Right. And so he sabotages things.
Yes.
Like kind of what Megan had said, I think that, didn't she?
Yeah.
Mention that.
Interesting that it's not that every relationship is like a two-way street, but you know, that's literally what he accused Amelia of doing. which is interesting. Right,
which I feel like so often we call out shit in other people that we're doing ourselves.
Yes. And so I was like very lost when he was like 10, 9, do the, you know, like I was like, well, what's he doing?
Yeah.
But
you've never had like muscle testing done like that before?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's really interesting.
That's
because
cool.
Like you're literally when it like is what it is or whatever, like your arm just drops.
What I think would be, although I'm sure it doesn't matter what they're like, if the age is accurate or not, it's like, if you told me like, what were you doing when you were 9? I was like, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Like I can, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, but if your father died at 10, I think
true.
you would probably remember like I was 10 when my dad died.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
You know,
I thought that was, I also thought the therapist, or I'm going to call him a therapist, was great in the way that like he was unfazed by Owen's doubt
mm-hmm.
of things. He was just confident in it and just like, let's try.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing, you know. Also, she had mentioned, Megan had mentioned somatic therapy, which I feel like this would fall under that because it has to do with like somatic is your body.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that is, if like that means that she's done this or if those are two very different things.
That's a good question.
Or if somatic therapy is its own thing.
I just looked it up. So it's an alternative therapy for treating trauma.
Okay.
Is to modify the trauma-related stress response through bottom-up processing. So it's a form of body-centered therapy that looks at the connection of mind and body and uses psychotherapy and like physical therapy, I think.
But you know what? The only thing that I don't love about the storyline is I'm pretty sure Owen doesn't do a session again.
I know.
And he's healed.
Right. Right. Which
to know why you're doing something obviously is progress.
Yeah. I think though too, so with like therapies like this and similar to like, and I don't know a ton about this, but like newer techniques such as like EMDR is like, and usually it's not one session, but it's like, it's shorter termed therapy because it literally reprocesses the brain. So it's like, it's almost like to me, I think that's why we kept thinking it was EMDR because it was like, it placed that memory where it needed to go and didn't like put it in the trauma center anymore, you know?
Yep.
And so I don't know, maybe that specific thing, but I don't think that alone would like heal all his relationships. Like,
right.
He has some other like behavioral things and probably cognitive thoughts that he could work on.
Yeah.
But
either way, it was nice to see
one thing of Owen doing the work.
Yes.
Yeah. It was weird though, because like, I feel like we've been waiting for this moment and talking about it. And I wasn't like as like, oh,
no.
This time around. I really liked what the quote that I read.
Yes.
I thought that was like really, really touching. But other than that, I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Should we talk about the dinner?
Yeah.
Again, we already talked about this, but you weren't here.
When all of you weren't here.
Okay. For me, there was humor. Like there were parts that were very funny to me, like of just Link and Amelia's like very lighthearted relationship.
Uh-huh.
And then skewing into like really touching and endearing and why I think we've been kind of like, how did they get together? What is this, you know, with them? And I think between this and the conversation Amelia has with Tom in the next episode, that like Link is easy. It's like it is not hard. It is not difficult. It is not like, I felt like the way that Link stood up for Amelia when he has not even known her for that long, I feel like after what she has just dealt with Owen would feel like such a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really, I really loved it. I love the dinner scene. I
love a dinner party.
I know. I was going to say, I tend to really love like the dinner stuff. It would be such a panic showing up and your sister being at a hospital and being like, fuck, like didn't expect that. And it's very obvious that she is like the quote unquote black sheep of the family. And, I love that line too, where she's like, I am stuck at like 14 years old in your memory. And it like aligns perfectly with the photo in her house of like her at 14.
Right.
Like her family, her sisters have not been able to get past like Amelia and her addictions and like choices that she made in the past.
I also feel like they're not treating her addiction as something as serious as it is. I feel like they're just like, no. You just make dumb choices.
No, I 100% agree because which is weird because they're doctors.
Right.
So that's really odd.
Derek was also kind of always judgy with her too.
I take that back because Owen was really shitty about addiction recently in a couple episodes ago. So addiction, I don't know, people have... I think a lot of people, it can often be too, like if you are connected very closely to someone who has addiction, it can sometimes feel like that person is making a choice.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's the people that are closest to her that often feel that way. Yeah, so, that makes sense.
I think maybe that's kind of like, you know, you just keep doing all these shitty things, Amelia. I thought it was really sad when the brain tumor got brought up when Amelia talks about the brain tumor and her mom's like, you had a brain tumor. Like,
which is crazy that they did not go to her wedding and they did not know she had a brain tumor. She did all of that without her family.
Yeah.
I feel like what a gut drop when your mom walks through the door and you know that your mom knows who Owen Hunt is.
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck. Because
but
then
did she know that Owen? I don't know that Amelia knew that her mom knew who Owen was.
Okay, maybe not.
But then when she's like, that's not Owen.
But then like that realization and then to try to explain to your sisters, like, okay, I get this is wild.
Because it seems like...
even crazier.
Yeah, like, it seems like, okay, I'm this like person I'm trying to prove to you I'm not this person anymore. I literally just did this thing that like kind of... where they even say they're like, this is the craziest thing you've ever done. And... I just felt so bad for Amelia. And I thought that Link, and then she ended up being really shitty to Link in the cab. And like, you know, she has been treating him kind of like, you know, you're like pain management for me. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not really fair. He clearly cares about her.
Right.
So I did appreciate that. Like, she tries to make amends. And I think she really is like interested in like being with him, mm-hmm. which is, I will say, soon after just leaving a relationship with a foster child.
Dude, the animal's back at your house.
Oh, no, that was John taking out the trash.
Oh, I thought that was like a group of possums running. That was a terrifying sound.
Well, I didn't hear it at first, but the way you looked made me think, oh my God, we're about to be murdered.
Like behind you, there's someone.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is it for me.
What do you think people would do with the recording?
And you know what? Nothing came to mind. It was just like, well.
Oh.
guess we're going out.
No, okay.
At least it will be recorded on a podcast.
Do you think the murderers would figure out how to delete the recording?
I don't think they would know.
Would someone publish it?
Oh, that'd be awful. It's like, ooh, it's like when that grizzly bear
Do grizzly bears murder?
No, but the one guy. You never saw that grizzly man?
Not on like Law. Or what's that show? Alone?
No. The documentary about this guy.
Sad.
Oh, I'll tell you about this. Timothy something, I think. Okay. Anyway, there is a recording of the grizzly like tearing him to shit, but it's never been played for anyone. They played it for the person who made the documentary.
Okay, and they decided it was...
they were like, we cannot release this. Timothy Treadwell is his name.
John walked in the door. John, I thought that when you rolled the trash can that you were a group of possums. Like, I was like, holy shit, Brie, the possums are back. Anyways.
Figured me out.
So why don't you get a haircut?
What if John was really just in like a trench coat and underneath him was a bunch of possums?
Wow, John's haircut looks very nice.
Oh,
he voted, everyone. Wow, thanks. What a haircut. Yeah, listeners, you can't see, but it is looking smooth.
Yeah, let me describe it to you. Think Brad Pitt.
It is. Jake would be so jealous.
It's very Brad Pitt. Anyway, we're recording.
Cool. Everybody.
There's dinner in the kitchen, but maybe wait.
It tastes weird, she says.
Kinda.
Okay, anyway,
back to it.
Okay, so, and then we have the conversation, which is, I feel like the standout moment is when Amelia talks to her mom in the park. And what I love about it is that they both, it's like, you can't go back in time and change things, but you can own up to things. And like, mm-hmm. Amelia owns up to being a difficult child. Her mother owns up to not being there for her. She talks about, she says, every time you fell down, you got up stronger. You cared about falling. You just weren't afraid of it. And that is what makes you you. Out of all of the kids, that is what makes you the most like your father. And she says something like, Derek said he'd watch out for you and he did his best, but he wasn't your mother. You deserved a mother, but he offered and I let him. And it is my biggest regret.
I think that the monologue pairs up perfectly with that scene and exactly what you were just saying, that we may not be able to exactly replicate what we lost, but in its place, we'll grow something new. It's a long process, but it happens slowly but surely until we have what we need. And I feel like that is what Amelia and her mom are trying to do at this point, or at least her mom is trying to reach out to Amelia and be like, I wasn't a mom to you and that is what you needed. And so like, let us try and heal this somehow. And it's going to be difficult.
And then she says, her mom says, if you don't think you're worthy of love, if you don't think your love is valuable, you're wrong. And that's on me. And then she says, put that on me and move forward. And Amelia says, what if I can't? And she says, well, then it's on you.
Love that she, you know, makes Amelia also have to be accountable. Like, because sure, we all have like hurt and pain from our childhood and it varies in severity for each person. But then at some point, I think, you know, her mom acknowledges, like, then Amelia has to take steps forward for herself as well.
Yes. I also feel like there's nothing better than like hearing a parent figure say like, put that on me.
Yeah.
Like, is it like healing little kid wounds? Like that feels, I feel like must feel really good for Amelia.
Yeah. Well, just like, you don't have to carry it anymore. It was never yours to carry anyway.
Right.
Which someone would say that to me.
I know.
Well, maybe we can do like a reparenting the two of us. Yes, and like, you can say parent. That to me and I'll say that to you.
The problem is it won't work.
No, it won't. Or it will become some weird culty ass shit. And then we'll have a documentary series made about us.
I also like the comedic moment in the middle where like, she's like, I'm sorry I missed your wedding. I'm sorry I missed your brain tumor. And they're both just like laughing kind of because it is wild. Also, it's sad to think about Derek too, that I don't often empathize with Derek, but that he like took on that role. Like he also watched his dad die.
Yeah.
And then like probably felt responsibility to offer to his mom, like I'll watch Amelia, you whatever. And like, and that's also like very hard too.
Yeah. Speaking of Derek, like going back to the dinner party quickly, so hurtful when she's like, I am the head of neuro. Yeah. And the sisters are like, yeah, because Derek gave you that job before because he was going to move. And so like, I feel like everything that she's tried to do to like prove herself to her family, they're like, you never really got there on your own.
Right.
And yeah.
Also, I feel like, yeah, the fact that she was also a neurosurgeon, but Derek did it first, there's just never going to be the kind of recognition that Derek had.
Yeah. And now he's dead.
And they still don't care.
They didn't. You know what's interesting? In the dinner party, they didn't really talk about Derek.
Right.
I found that kind of odd that they didn't mention like
a brother is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because one of their sisters. Oh, the other part I wanted to mention that we did to already talk about last time we recorded this was I loved when Amelia shows up at home and Meredith and Maggie are sitting at the table. Yeah. And to me, that really felt like those were her sisters.
Yes.
Like she finally arrived back home to her sisters. They're like, tell us about the whatever. And she's like, oh my God, it's a long story. And they're like, well, sit down. And so she starts talking and like, well, Nancy and Maggie's like, that's like the mean one or whatever. And Meredith's like, oh yeah, I know Nancy. And like, it just shows that like you can create a family that understands you and loves you.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing to end on in the dinner party. And then I'll just say that I've always said Link has golden retriever energy. Mm-hmm. And it like when Tom and Amelia are talking about like Teddy and Owen and all of that, and he like accuses her of like, what are you doing with Link? And she's just like, it's easy. Like it's uncomplicated. But he like pokes his head in there. He's like, yeah, we're going to go do surgery or whatever he says. And I just feel like he is a very like positive vibes.
Yes.
So, okay. Yes.
I feel like we also didn't mention this in the rounds and I feel like we should mention Gemma, who was Richard's The patient Gemma. And because I do think she shows back up, I think she ends up like having a thing for Richard, and Catherine thinks they're having an affair or something.
Right? Wow. There's someone that does that. Yeah.
I think it's Gemma.
Okay. I thought that was a very charming interaction.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was a great mirroring image of what could have happened to Richard after Ollie died.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma's like, you have a wife, you have family, whatever. I loved them both like yelling at each other and calling each other drunks.
Like stubborn drunks. Yeah.
I did feel like I appreciated Maggie being like, Richard, get the fuck out of here. Like when they were yelling at each other. But you're right. I think this is that.
Well, and I just like, she was so mad at Richard. and then he comes in after the surgery, and Gemma says, I had 17 years and I want them back. And Richard says, the years don't matter, Gemma, just today.
She's like, you tried.
Yeah, like, you tried. And he's like, I almost did. Like, you know, I went and turned my chip in. And so I'm happy that we're still talking about Ollie, because like that was such a huge part of Richard's life. And to lose a sponsor, like, I think it wouldn't be something that someone would just like get over quickly.
Right. I agree. I'm also glad that they continue to bring it up. It makes me want to like, I really liked Ollie, the character Ollie.
I know.
She kind of she gave me like a vibe of like Stevie Nicks.
A little bit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So about the second or the third episode, you can talk to John about his mashed potatoes.
Okay. Sorry, listeners. John, there's mashed potatoes in the bowl behind you. And then, if the carrots aren't cooked that well, I'm really sorry. But I also didn't make a salad, but you don't like salad anyway, so.
You know, we're like Marc Maron or Dax Shepard. Like, we just talk about things in the background. Okay, about this last part in this last episode, the Nico thing, which I feel like is the biggest. I know. First of all, I'm working backwards here.
Okay.
How fucking rude of him to, like, when he lashes out at Levi, who's just trying to be there for him, and says, like, I do not, like, identify, like, my life, what does he say? He says something about, my life is not dictated by failure, and, like, you're wrapping your whole personality around that.
Yes.
Glasses as a nickname. Like, I just felt it was so mean.
I don't like Nico. And I don't like, to me too, like this poor patient who ends up losing their life. It's because, like, I feel like part of it is like Nico's arrogance.
Yes.
And I know like it's important as like surgeons to be innovative and blah, blah, blah. But what are you looking at?
My water bottle.
Oh.
It's right here.
The possums.
Yeah.
I just really feel like he's never really been there for Schmidt, like, at all. I don't think he's, like, supported him. Even, like, when he says he, like, loves him, you know. And
it feels so...
Like, I want to make you sweat. And, like, just, like, why?
He's not
do you want to make him sweat? Why don't you want to be there and supportive and also make him feel affirmed and loved? Like, what is the point of this?
Exactly.
I know that was, like, previous episodes, but I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, no, he's not a great... I really appreciated Bailey. First of all, I appreciated Maggie and her cold shoulder towards him.
Yes.
About the problem. And then I really appreciated... Oh, and Bailey's so good, Chandra Wilson, when she was like, you will come with me and watch that grandparent's grief.
Yeah.
Like, you will take it all in. And if you are lucky, you will never make that mistake again.
I feel like Bailey has said that to, like, I feel like Meredith has said that to people. But, like, Nico's a fellow. Like, I feel like he should not be having to, like, learn this lesson.
Right. Pop-Pop.
Oh, poor Pop-Pop.
First of all, he loves Bailey. He comes in for his diverticulitis.
I know.
And, the Pop-Pop's acting was very great. Like, it was the kind of like, ooh, where I like felt.
And when he's like pacing in the hallway and she's like, I'll go figure it out. And she walks in and he's dead.
Dead. Yeah. I don't know. I wrote my note as I cannot see Pop-Pop sad.
Nobody wants to see Pop-Pop sad.
Especially when it's like supposed to be such an easy thing. And a minute ago he was walking.
Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. I hate it. What did I write? I have this note here. I'm trying to figure out. Oh, that's from Owen's thing. Never mind. Yeah. Also, I was playing the song I can't think of the song name, but it says the like, say something, I'm giving up on you. I feel like they use that song in Grace. Yeah, it's a good song. It was emotional. It felt, that little scene with her telling Pop Pop felt like old Grace.
Yeah, I would agree.
Something about a sad song and, you know, all of that. So,
yeah. I don't really have much else.
No. I do not either. Let us go into notes and trivia.
Okay.
This episode's title originated from the song The Whole Package, originally sung by Sierra Jones.
It scored 6.85 million viewers.
This marks Camilla Luddington's 150th appearance as Joe Karev.
This episode's title originated from the song Good Shepherd, originally sung by Jefferson Airplane.
It scored 6.81 million viewers.
It's an Amelia-centric episode and features only 4 out of the 11 main cast members.
It was produced as the 22nd episode of the season, but it aired as the 21st instead.
It introduces the 4 Shepherd sister and holds the record of the most Shepherds appearing in an episode together, missing only Derek, Liz, and Mr. Shepherd.
This is the first episode of Grey's Anatomy to feature a character's name in the title.
Originally, the episode wasn't part of the plan for the 15th season, even though Krista had been having the idea for an Amelia-centric episode for a while. It was decided to incorporate it into the season when ABC ordered an extra episode of the season.
This episode's title originated from the song Head Over High Heels, originally sung by Dolly Parton.
It scored 6.24 million viewers.
The episode was produced as the 21st of the season, but aired as the 22nd instead.
Interesting. Writer William Harper appears as Owen's therapist.
This marks Kevin McKidd's 250th episode as Owen Hunt.
J.C. Elliott was credited in the press release, but she did not appear, nor was she credited in the episode itself.
Catherine Fox Award.
Oh,
there's
God.
Just, it's all over the place.
It really does feel all over the place. You know what? I might say Megan for telling Owen to get his fucking shit together.
Oh, I love that.
Together.
She'll never get it again.
Yeah. Like, Owen, you're not well. Go do the work.
I love that. I love that so much. I really liked the dinner party episode and I liked the pop moment. But besides that, it didn't do too much for me. I'm going to say 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to go 6 out of 10.
Okay, that's fine.
Didn't love these episodes.
Maybe you'll love The Mist. What if you do? We've been talking so bad about it.
I might. I don't know. I mean, this has happened before with the windstorm. So don't forget, if you are a $10 patron, stick around after we call Time of Death. We're going to be talking about DeLuca, his surgery with Richard, and also his growing relationship with Meredith. So if you want to hear about that, you have to be a $10 patron. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Time of Death
is 2032.
Beep.
Welcome to Post-Op, everyone. Thank you for being a $10 patron. You make this podcast happen.
You make the world go round.
You make it happen.
Okay, let me just start out by saying that... Well, should I read the round?
Yeah.
Okay, let me read the round. Then I'll start out by saying something. DeLuca, this is in the second episode. DeLuca gets to do a lap appy with Richard, and he's unsure if it's a test because he's dating Meredith or a test as a surgeon. The appy turns into a 4-hour surgery, which proves that DeLuca knows what he is doing surgically. He tells Richard that he wants to go into general surgery. DeLuca then gets caught by Zola in the middle of the night when he stays at Meredith's house. Meredith asks him if he even wants children because she is worried because she has 3. He tells her all about his young cousin and how much his young cousins and how much he loves them. Mary decides to tell the kids that Dr. DeLuca is her boyfriend. She tells them that he will be around a lot more, but that she isn't going anywhere.
Thoughts?
First of all, what do you think of that sexy start out scene?
Okay, so I did have a note about that. Where would that be?
I have a strange...
We finally see DeLuca and Mare romping around in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
We finally see it. Because I feel like last episode... might have been the one we recorded and then didn't
We've show. Seen them kiss a lot with their clothes on.
Yeah, but we don't like see them in the bedroom.
Right.
And so I felt happy to see them like finally...
Yes.
Yeah. I also wanted to wear what Mare was wearing, her like high-waisted undies with her little short tank or like t-shirt. I was like, oh, that's a cute outfit.
There is sometimes... Okay, this is not me being ageist, where like I feel like when I say that she seems old, I'm not saying that as like it's bad that she's with someone younger. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sometimes the like Meredith or Ellen Pompeo. Like when she's laying in bed, DeLuca gets up and he's like, what are you looking at? And she does this like laugh or this voice that I feel like could easily be an 80-year-old woman.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like there's this something about her character that like she does this thing that like, I don't know. It feels
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she is comfortable.
Like, honestly, the sex scene when they're romping around and there's the music and the flipping over, loved it. Like, yeah. I was like, this is great.
Well, probably but as soon it's like as choreographed,
started
you know?
Talking, there was. But both of them, even DeLuca being like, what are you looking at? Like, yeah. Even that was like, felt, it just didn't feel, it felt like you pasted some lines on people, but it didn't fit who they were.
Yeah. No, I get that. So anyways, I don't think anything will feel like Mare and Dare.
No, you're right.
And because I just, even like Scott Speedman.
Honestly, DeLuca is better than Scott Speedman.
Oh, 100%.
Scott Speedman, what is going on?
I don't know. It's so uncomfortable.
The fact
it's
that painful. This is Endgame?
Yeah, it's painful to watch.
I mean, Cormac was better and they never had scenes doing anything, but it was just sexier.
He spoke to her once when she was in,
yes,
you know,
and that honestly had more sexual tension than...
I know.
Scott Speedman leaning his head against the bed.
That's so bad. We'll talk about that in our reaction, but like, oh, that was a really bad like angle, something. It was not...
He looks like a corpse.
It was not good.
Oh my God. Anyways. Okay. So I don't know. I liked the romping scene. It should have ended there with no talking.
Yes.
Even the Zola part was cute though, but just some, they should just have to talk to each other. Okay. But I will say I loved to like Meredith going to Bailey for advice. I thought that was very cute.
But Bailey like won't give her advice.
No, I also loved Bailey when she's on the phone with, or just like she's when she sums it all up and about like Tucker being mad at Tuck because he said like, and Ben being oblivious. Like, that was the best part, I think, is like sometimes husbands can just be oblivious
to some things. They certainly can.
But also how sweet that Tuck calls Ben dad. Like I know,
sweet.
That means he really trusts him.
Yeah. I loved. Well, going back to like the surgery, I love that like Mara's kind of panicking about it. DeLuca's panicking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why is Richard like asking me to do this surgery? Meredith's like leaning on Alex. And then during the surgery, Richard asks DeLuca, like, what are your like long-term like plans or whatever? And he thinks that Richard is talking about like him and Meredith. And so he starts like, well, you know, she's really great, but this and that. And he's like, I mean your surgical career. And I thought that was so funny because like they just keep putting their foot in their mouth with Richard. Like, I think he cares, but like also I don't think he cares or wants to know. And they just keep making him like...
They put more weight on it.
Yeah. And it keeps making him even more uncomfortable. And
yes.
I thought that was a funny like comedic moment.
Yeah. No, I loved that moment as well. There was a lot of like blundering around in that sense. Also that's, I think the episode too, that Jackson and Meredith are talking about like how, why like Richard is like a father figure to them, but he's not their dad, but they forget that they have real dads.
Yes.
And then, okay. Another thing I appreciated, which, and I texted you this, it made me very sad. First of all, like DeLuca being sort of like taken off guard when Mare asks him about kids and he's like, I love kids. Like, and he talks about his cousins and whatever. And then when he's in holding that baby in that room and he looks over at her, I had this brief moment of like, oh my gosh, like I doubt they would have had a kid. Well, maybe, but they might have. And like, but DeLuca was robbed of that because he was murdered.
Yeah, I said they did DeLuca dirty.
Because like that actually was a really sweet little moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was just showing too that like he likes kids, like he's good with them. And I thought the way that Mare told her kids was really sweet.
Like, oh, I loved that.
Bringing a bunch of ice cream and sitting on the ground, like meeting them at their level. And like, I love too when they're like, are you going to kiss him? It's just like, yeah, probably. Like not denying that,
right.
You know, and like and speaking to them on kid terms.
And that she says something like, I like him a lot, but not as much as I like you guys.
I know.
Like just sort of reassuring that like you will always come first.
Don't they have something too about like, is he going to sleep on our couch again?
And she was like, no.
No. My last note though that I had, I said, that was so nice of Mare and the kids, dot, dot, dot. But I miss her
drinking tequila.
Like, I miss, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
oh, you're right.
It was like sweet, and it's like grown up Mare, and she has these kids and stuff. But like, I miss like her and Christina, like drinking tequila when like Derek pissed her off.
I think
whatever.
This is the missing link. Also, yeah, like okay, I know we'll talk about this in reactions. So, but you're getting a taste of it. Mare with Zola in Boston having dinner and her saying you're extraordinary and yeah, whatever is good, but it's boring.
It's boring.
Right. I want messy Mare.
Yeah. Because like she can't, and I don't want like, I don't want messiness with her and her kids or whatever. No. Like I'm happy that she like has worked herself out and she's so supportive of her children, of Zola, and she will move across the country. But like, I want like her and Bailey at a bar having a glass of wine or like, I don't know. And not even that alcohol has to be involved. No. Do you know what I mean? But just like the messiness of life. I feel like there is no more messiness with Mare. She's just the one providing like weird sentences of wisdom to everyone.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I think, I mean, part of me thinks like that's unavoidable because it's been, you know, in the universe of Grays, it's been what, like 15 years or something yeah, since, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
To think about like since the show started. So like, it would be wild if she was still like not mature. But I think when we go to television, we go to escape and we want to go back to like that little Grays world. And I think they're trying to do that with the new interns, but we're not attached.
Well, we're not attached.
But yeah. So I'm still not like, Mare and DeLuca to me are not like the perfect match, but it, in comparison to Scott Speedman,
I would take it.
I would
day,
take it back. I would take it back. We didn't know what we had.
We didn't.
Why did they have to kill him? Why couldn't he have been bipolar, gotten treated, and was like, wow, look, a functioning doctor who, you know, like what a beautiful growth. Like, look at this. And, like, and he's in love with Meredith.
Yeah. Or even if he didn't want to be on the show anymore, like just, yeah, he's like transfers or leaves or whatever. Like, why did he have to get stabbed?
But like, why couldn't him and Meredith have worked it out?
I think he probably, did he want to leave the show? Probably.
I don't know. I think they sent him away.
It's probably tough working, having that.
Maybe Ellen Pompeo sent him away.
Maybe.
She sent Cormac Hayes away. We know that.
Did she really?
Well, I don't think they had, I feel like she was like, we don't have chemistry. We're done.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Why the fuck would they have brought a character on that Christina sent them and then not have it be
a thing and like literally not go anywhere?
Because their kids didn't get along or because his kids didn't like it. So stupid. It happened all off screen. I hate it still.
Hate it.
All right. Oh, I miss his accent.
Remember when we kept calling him McCormick?
Yeah, well.
Like the spices?
It took me a took me a while to think of him not as the same character that he played on Shameless, but I got over it. Okay, listeners, thank you for being a patron, a special patron. We love you guys so, so much. We will be back next week with our finale.
With our finale, yes. Charge to 100.
Nothing.
Charge to 200.
Beep, beep, beep.
We have a pulse.